Hello, everyone. This is Stephen Strang, and welcome to the Strang Report. I'm so happy to have back my good friend, Hank Kuhneman, who is a pastor from Omaha, Nebraska, who has incredible prophetic insight. And when I found out that he had a visitation from the Lord, and the Lord showed him the glory of God, I said, we got to do a podcast on this. So here we are. You're going to want to stay tuned after this break to hear about the glory of God and to find out what a nation would look like filled with God's glory.
Welcome to the Strang Report with Steve Strang on the Charisma Podcast Network. This episode was produced to discuss and address issues within our nation and around the world from a Christian worldview.
Welcome back and welcome to you, Hank. I really appreciate you giving us your insight. Boy, this is fascinating. What does a nation look like that's filled with God's glory? I mean, that sounds so wonderful, so spiritual, so idealistic. I want to find out, and I know my listeners do too.
Sure. Well, I want to just thank everyone for joining today. It's always good to be with you, Steve, and we love you and Joy. But I'll tell you what, that question, what does a nation look like filled with glory, was not a question that I ever thought of, not a question that I ever had asked. But it was in 2016, I was walking with my two German shepherds. I now have a third one, a little puppy. And I was walking in a park, and I remember it because it was a very bright day. There wasn't a cloud in the sky, and I was coming around the corner, and I looked up, and there was a cloud. And I thought, man, that is crazy. Is that a cloud? Is there something on fire? Because it was hovering over three trees that were off in the distance. And I thought, man, do I need to, you know, call? It looks like something is on fire. It was kind of a grayish looking cloud, and it was kind of spinning, which I thought was kind of strange. Well, as I walked closer to it, I noticed my two German shepherds began to get into the sitting position, and they looked up, and they were extremely attentive. And the cloud, it seemed like, you know, again, I'm trying to recollect what was really happening because it was so marvelous. It looked like it was coming towards me. And all I remember is the presence that I felt, I knew, was the same presence when God comes, whether it's in my church or in my time of prayer. And I recognized, this is the Lord. And I was so overcome by his presence. And again, I'm in a park. There was nobody there that I'm aware of, but I literally hit the ground. And when I say hit the ground, I'm talking about I went down to my knees, and I was shaking, and I heard the voice of the Lord as if he was standing right by me. And he said something to me. He gave me 4 points. First of all, he said there's too much fear that is happening among his people, and that the enemy always uses the spirit of fear to project his perspective and his agenda. God has prophets, so does the devil. And when we start repeating what the enemy's agenda is by a spirit of fear, if we're not careful, we become right in the enemy's hand and become one of his prophets, speaking, declaring, announcing, agreeing with his agenda. And so God was saying there's too much fear. The next thing he said is, Hank, tell the people, as long as my spirit remains in the earth, I will always extend my goodness towards mankind. And he said, always remember, I have a redemptive plan as long as my spirit remains in the earth. And he said, a redemptive plan is God's plan of help and hope, even if there's a warning. You know, in other words, God will give us a way out or give us instructions on how to avoid, you know, the warning if we heed to it. And then he said these words to me. He said, what does a nation look like filled with glory? I said, God, I don't know. I've never been asked that question. I don't know how to answer you. I don't think anybody knows how to answer that. And he said to me, Hank, what a nation looks like filled with glory, this is what I'm doing. And he spoke to me at that time, and he said, this is why he was placing President Trump at that place. Now, there might be listeners that say, yeah, but he's not a Christian and all that. Listen, you have to understand that God is doing something that is bigger than just a man who is our president. God's not subject to have to be, you know, answer to anyone. And so the point that I'm making is, what does the nation look like filled with glory? Here's what he said. Everything begins to change and shift. And I said, Lord, give me a biblical analogy that I can share with the people. And he said, remember in Matthew 17, when Jesus was transfigured, even that word transfigured is a word that means change. The glory of God came upon the Son of God so much that his face shone. His body, which represents the body of Christ, was filled with that same glory, that the disciples were so afraid, just as I was in that visitation, that they hid their face. But notice, glory and change took place. So as we look at the earth and we see a lot of the bad that's happening, and, you know, streets that are, you know, been rioting and in chaos, and the heathen are raging, and it looks like things are out of control. It's a sign that God's glory is touching this earth and that the earth is responding to it. You say, well, how do you know that? Notice the visitation was in 2016. And you have to pay attention to 2016 because the number 16 or 6 in the Hebrew is the word waw, W-A-W. And it literally means the convergence between heaven and earth. Okay, that's why on the sixth day, God created man. Okay, notice he created man in his image, the convergence of God and man, or the earth. Jesus' first miracle was 6 water pots, a convergence of water pots, water, and the supernatural that turned it into new wine. So 16 was the convergence. It's why we're still fighting like hell against hell with people who do not like Donald Trump, do not like his agenda. From day one, before that, they tried to remove him from office, keep him from office. They're not settled with him being in office because God chose that man at this time to bring about a convergence of heaven touching this earth and touching our government, our politics, our nation, our Supreme Court, our laws, our children, and so on and so forth. And so things begin to change. Now, what the enemy wants us to see is just the bad. And I remember where I was being interviewed on a particular show years ago, and President Obama had just become president. I don't think he was in office that long. And the interviewer asked me a question, said, "Hank, tell us something that the Lord is saying that you can tell the people that God has not lifted his hand off of this nation." And I said, well, the Lord, and it came out of my mouth, Steve, before I realized what I said. And I said, God says all 50 states shall be covered with snow at the same time. And the reason it shall be is because, as David cried out, "Wash me whiter than snow," God says it'll be a work of deep cleansing that will take place. Then he gave another scripture out of the book of Psalms, where it says in Psalm 68, where God dealt with wicked kings when it was snowing in Zalman. So snow is a sign. In Zalman, just like the 50 states being covered with snow, that God was dealing with wickedness in high places. And God said, when you see the snow, and it happened twice during Obama's reign, that all 50 states, including Hawaii, had snow on it. It was touched at the same time. And God said, when you see this, it's going to be a sign of the deep cleansing that I'm bringing upon this nation. Do not get your eyes upon the corruption, because in deep cleansing, the filth always comes to the top first. And he said, don't be moved by that. So what we're seeing right now is the filth. We're seeing what God is dealing with that's always been here. And remember the words spoken to Jeremiah the prophet in Jeremiah 1:10. God said, listen, prophet, I have set you over the nation to root out, to overthrow, to pull out, and to destroy. And that's what God is doing right now because of the injustice that has taken place, crime in high level that God is exposing. But notice the next assignment that God said in that same prophetic word of Jeremiah 1:10. He says, but you are also to build and plant. And I believe in all my heart that we are entering into the season now. This is why we've got to vote. We've got to pray that God is wanting to build and plant. Because what does a nation look like filled with glory? Things begin to change. They change for good. Here's another thing. May I continue, Steve?
Please do. I'm just fascinated because I've never really understood, you know, starting what the glory of God is, other than, you know, maybe some light kind of like was on Moses on Mount Sinai. And then you have unpacked it to show how it applies in contemporary society. So please go ahead.
Yeah. And here's another thing. You mentioned, you know, just regarding, you know, the glory of God coming. I remember the first time that I think I met your wife, and this is before the hurricanes were coming like they were coming, you know, I was in Orlando, and I prophesied in a conference that I was doing that there would be that year back-to-back hurricanes, and it would be a sign unto this nation that the enemy would try to counter what God is doing. You know, a lot of people are prophesying, well, they're judgments, but God said that it would be the enemy that was trying to counter what God was doing. You say, well, is that even biblical? Yes, Mark chapter 4. Jesus says, let's go to the other side. Why? Because there's something awaiting for him on the other side. It was a man with a legion of demons, and the glory of God was getting ready to change him and invade his territory. So what does the enemy do? Mark 4, verse 35, let's go to the other side. All of a sudden, there's a storm. And the disciples, it must have been a doozy of a storm because they're so afraid. They wake up Jesus, and he rebukes the storm, and he rebukes them. Well, Jesus would have never rebuked his father. So it was an evil entity. Well, how do we know it was an evil entity? You've got to keep tracking. If you track the story of Mark 4, the storm, and you immediately go to Mark 5, the very first verse, guess who's waiting for him? The man with thousands of devils who controlled that region is awaiting Jesus or trying to counter him, try to counter him through the storm, try to counter him on the shore now, and the glory is about to change him. And all of a sudden, he gets delivered, and the man goes out and begins to evangelize into 10 cities. So the storms that we're seeing and have been seeing is the enemy countering what God is trying to do, because when glory comes, even the very elements respond to it. How do you know, Hank? Well, when God came down upon the mountain in the book of Exodus, you can read it in Exodus 19 through 21, that the mountain shook. There was lightning, there was rain, there was wind. And so the elements were responding to the greatness of who God is. And so we have a choice. Matthew chapter 7, Jesus talks about two types of foundations, sand and rock. And then he says, look, the wind will come, the rain will come, the floods will ascend. And we think, okay, well, that's just destruction. And that's what a lot of people are looking at when they're looking at the nation. Well, the foundation of this nation is shifted over into sand. And so now these are judgments, the rain, the flood, the winds, just like Matthew 7 says. But you also have to look closely. God always has a redemptive plan. So what does that mean? Matthew 7 are also the rain, wind, and flood elements of revival. Okay, the wind came on Pentecost, Acts 2. The rain is Hosea chapter 6. God and his glory, which is what the glory is God. He came as the rain, it says. The floods is the book of Isaiah, where it talks about the floods of righteousness. So even the elements have been speaking. Let me give you an example. I prophesied recently, and I prophesied on May 31st of 2020 that God said he would use the lightning as a sign that the enemy's agenda is falling. And remember, Jesus said in Luke 10, I saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven. So a prophecy came forth on May 31st of 2020, this year, about watch the lightning. 4 days later, the Washington Monument is hit several times by lightning. I don't know if you saw it. The next thing that happens is the Statue of Liberty gets hit. And God said that he would begin to show that the agenda of hell is being dealt with by God. Well, think about those. Those are two amazing pictures of our history.
It is, and I don't remember about the Washington Monument being struck. I was actually at the Washington Monument a few days ago with the return. Mm-hmm. But Rabbi Jonathan Kahn, who is both one of our authors as well as a friend, mm-hmm. sent me a picture of the lightning that hit the Statue of Liberty, and there was a lot of lightning in that picture.
Yeah.
And he felt that it was significant enough that he sent it to me, and of course, he has written this wonderful book called Harbinger 2, The Return, and he saw all kinds of significance in that. So go ahead with your story.
So the glory of God, and the Lord said, look to lightning. Okay, he also talked that he would say that he would show up in the rainbow, and there was a marvelous double rainbow over the White House just recently. On October 14th of 2015, God prophesied about the new era. You're hearing a lot of talk about a new era, but this was in 2015. People were talking about the new era, and God began to speak. The new era is going to be about his glory. what does that mean? Things change, as we're talking about. The elements begin to respond, and they also begin to settle, and I'll talk about that. Because in 2015, the Lord talked about that when you see the passing or the death of a former president and an earthquake on the same day, this is a documented prophecy, October 14th of 2015, George Bush Sr. died. And there was that 7.0 Alaska earthquake that happened on the same day. And God said in 2015, when you see that happen, that earthquake and the former president dying, He said, when you see that, it marks a new era. Well, that happened on, 2018, when I think it was November 30th, when there was the passing of George Bush Sr. and then the Alaska earthquake. Well, we're in that new era. That new era has to do with God's glory. That's why I don't think God has used this president to get this nation this far, to introduce us to a new era, to all of a sudden go backwards. That's why we've got to pray. We've got to vote. And I want to say this also. I think it's important. I had a prophecy recently that talked about, I don't know if you've had this down in Florida, but there's been a cool breeze that's been blowing all across the nation for the last several weeks that they've been reporting in the newspapers. Okay, weeks before that, God prophesied that, He talked about how it would be a very hot summer. And this was back in, you know, January, it'd be a very hot summer. Well, it was record. But He said there would be a cool breeze that would blow upon the soil of the United States to signal, like when David, there was a rustling in the mulberry bushes, that it was the movement of God. And God said, when you feel this breeze, you're going to know that my spirit is moving. My glory is beginning to invade this planet and this nation. And He also said, I'm going to use the cool breeze to cool the tempers in the streets. That's another thing that happens. When glory shows up, you got to go back to Exodus 14. The children of Israel and Egypt, God used the glory to preserve a nation. He used the glory to protect a nation. The pillar of cloud by day, the fire by night. But what did God also do? Here's the part that we're seeing right now. The Bible says that God used the glory to reach His hand through and pick a fight. Because if you read in Exodus 14, the glory was there, bringing change to a nation, bringing preservation to a nation, and also to pick a fight that God always wins. And He knocked off the chariot wheels of Pharaoh and He drowned him in the sea. How did He do it? Through the glory. Why am I saying this? We think that these people who have been mockers of God, they've shaken their fists at God, they think that they can exclude God and push Him out of this nation. They don't realize they've picked a fight with God. And they picked it at a wrong time, because the glory has two elements of it. It has God's judgment, because remember, the priests could not have sin in their lives and enter into the holy place where the glory was, or they'd die. So glory also brings judgment against those who oppose or don't handle it right or refuse. You know, in other words, they make themselves an enemy of God. But the also thing that the glory does is it blesses, it preserves, it protects. And that's what's happening upon the nation at this time. Again, what does a nation look like filled with glory? Here's another thing. Steve, it was on February 12th of 2019, 2 days before Valentine's Day. I'm doing the nice husband thing. I'm cleaning the house because Valentine's Day is coming. My wife is working at the church. And I'm trying to, you know, wipe down the stovetop. And there was a stubborn, I don't know, like a grease or something. I couldn't get it, and I was very frustrated. I went to wipe it, and I immediately went into a vision. And I'm not setting dates, but I'm telling you, I saw 12 years into the future. Well, Hank, how do you know? Well, it was like if you download computer files, you know, and how they download at a rapid rate of speed. I was seeing all of this stuff happening over the next 12 years at a rapid rate of speed. And I'm telling you, and I want your listeners to be encouraged, what we are experiencing right now is not how this decade is going to wind up. And so that's why it's important that we vote righteous. We vote and side with God, side with Israel, side with protecting children in the womb, side with God, who's raising up Donald Trump, who's helping the church and protecting our religious liberties. We need to help him, because it's all part of God's plan of what I prophesied back in 2019, that this year would start off harsh and that there would be plagues as in the days of Egypt and Israel. But God said, don't look at the harshness of how the decade will start. Understand that I'm going to bring this nation into glory. And that's where we're at right now. And I want people to be encouraged that the Lord has not forsaken us. The Lord has not lifted his hand. And I knew this, Steve, because remember when Obama lit up the White House with the same-sex ruling? Remember that, when that happened?
I remember with the colors of the rainbow.
Yeah. So I went into a three-day fast. And I said, God, and I asked the wrong question for 2 days. Think about how dumb this, I don't even want to tell you how dumb this question was. But I wasn't getting an answer. Here's what my question was. God, did you know that the president was going to do this? Well, of course God knew. And so did Obama, because he had it pre-lit. So the point is, God didn't answer for 2 days. And so I realized, Hank, you are really asking a dumb question. So it was on the third day of my fast, I prayed and I said, God, okay, I want to change my question. What did you do? Obviously, you said through the lips of Jesus that marriage is between one man and one woman. So obviously you have to, you know, have some kind of feeling about it. You know what God said to me, Steve?
What?
He said, when they made the ruling from the Supreme Court and they lit up the White House, he said, I turned and I looked at the mercy seat and I remembered my covenant that I made through Jesus Christ, my son, and his blood. And I chose, this was in 2000 and whatever it was that they did that.
15.
He said, I've chosen at this time. When was it?
2015, in June. 15.
He said, I've chosen at this time to extend a window of mercy over this land. And he said, but we're going to have to deal with people who have a Jonah spirit. And if you remember, it was right at and I had prophesied it, that it'd be the hottest summer on record. And we had a very, very hot summer right after that. And people were saying, oh, this is the judgment of God. No, what God was doing is he was doing exactly what he did with an angry prophet who wanted to see Nineveh destroyed. And he went out and had a pity party and sat underneath a, I think it was a little juniper bush or whatever it was, and God had sent an east wind. East always speaks of judgment, and it dries up. The prophet is getting schooled by God because he had a wrong spirit. Nineveh had changed. Nineveh had turned to God. And some people are not seeing that there are those in this nation that are turning, and they're the ones that are crying out in repentance to God, that is causing God to say, what does a nation look like? Fill with glory, you're going to see it. And here's the thing that I want the listeners to understand, and I've had to come to understand. If one man, Moses, could change the destiny of a nation, we could change it with our vote. We can change it with our cry out to God to spare this beautiful land, the United States. God wanted to wipe out the children of Israel. He said, Moses, leave me alone. Let me wax hot. In fact, I published a book for you, Steve, called Don't Leave God Alone, if you remember that. It was based on this through charisma. And here's the beautiful part of it. God said, Moses said, Lord, if you destroy the children of Israel, then blot my name out too. And God said, leave me alone, Moses. But it was Moses, one man, who stood up for the destiny of a nation. And God changed his mind. Abraham started the countdown. And we often do that too. Well, we need the whole nation to turn to God. Well, that would be great. But we got to be careful that we don't make the mistake of Abraham when we start getting into numbers. How many people does it take to turn God's heart? Well, Abraham thought, I'll start with 50. If Abraham would have just said to God, will you remember it for one? And one of the saddest scriptures that I read is the last verse of Genesis 19, where the Bible says, after the countdown, and Abraham never asked God, will you spare Sodom and Gomorrah for one? The Bible says that Abraham let God walk away. I'm not going to let God walk away, and I know your listeners aren't either. We're going to get out and vote, and we're going to vote right. I'm voting Trump, because I realize that that's who God is using to turn this nation around. And I'm going to agree with God. I'm going to agree with his agenda, so we can say what does a nation look like filled with glory? Things begin to change. Your Supreme Court, school gets back, prayer gets back in school, abortion gets overtaken in the land and toppled, and it becomes a thing of no more. Our streets be filled with glory, that the rioting and the chaos that we see it now doesn't exist. Have you ever thought about why are the streets being attacked right now?
Why is that?
Because of glory again. Think about how many times when the glory of God would come into the cities. Jesus had the Spirit without measure. He was the glory. That's what the glory is. It's God himself. And everywhere he went, there would be demons that would throw down and cry out, leave us alone. When the apostles had that glory on them, whole cities, Acts 17, they were in uproars and riots and all kinds of things, countering what was moving into their cities, and it was the glory of God. And here's what's amazing. I said to the Lord, Lord, why are the streets like this? He said, because of glory. And he said, Hank, I put great value on the streets, and the enemy knows it. I said, how do you put great value on the streets? I was shocked with what he said. He said, don't I have streets of gold? He puts value on it in heaven. But he said, did I not tell the disciples to go out into the highways and the byways? When the outpouring of the Holy Spirit happened on Pentecost, we all want revival, but it didn't stay in the upper room. It went out into the streets. Saul of Tarsus, Acts 9, was converted in the streets. Jezebel ruled in her tower, but when she died, she was overthrown by Jehu and landed in the streets, and her power was broken in the streets, just like it's going to be broken in the United States of America. And we're going to see this stuff come to a standstill.
Wow, this is so great, and I appreciate it. Our podcast has gone a little longer than normal, but I just felt it was so important to share this with the listeners. And I just want to wrap up by mentioning that I quote Hank in my new book, God, Trump, and the 2020 Election, on page 168. I've got it here in front of me. And there's only two pages that I quote. I talk a little bit about your remarkable prophetic gift and how I know you, but also that you help Christians to understand what God is saying and to help us understand. The point I was making in this chapter says that Christians often misread signs, just as Jesus' disciples did in the story in the sixth chapter of Mark, where Jesus walked on the water. Now, here Jesus was walking on the water, but when the disciples saw him, they thought he was a ghost, and they almost failed to see the miracle that was happening right in front of them. And then I quote you as saying, quote, some Christians attribute everything to evil and don't see any good. They don't understand the nature of God. God knew same-sex marriage would be approved. He knows America's apostate in many ways. The same could be said of all nations, yet he loves America and desires for America to once again be a beacon to the world. How can this be? He looks at America through Jesus on the cross. It is his grace. Unquote. And I just thought that that was so good, and I said a few other things. People can, of course, check this out. You can get copies of this book, really all my books, on my website, stevestrangbooks.com. I'll just throw in that little plug. So I'll give you the last word, Hank, as we wrap up.
Sure.
And of course, also tell the listeners on the other podcast we did, you told the listeners how to get hold of you. In fact, anyone who missed that podcast needs to go on the Charisma Podcast Network and just put in Hank Kuhneman's name and listen to that podcast as well. So tell us how to get hold of you, and also anything else you want to say, maybe even commenting on what I just read.
Sure. You know, I want to first of all comment on what you just read so that we can continue on that theme for just a moment. Israel, God dedicated himself to Israel, and they rejected their Messiah. United States, as we know it, is one of the longest known nations that the people dedicated themselves to God and made a covenant with him. And the Lord has made that a very, very serious thing. He is a God of covenant. And just as he watches over Israel, he's watching over this nation that has been dedicated to him. And we are in for an amazing ride. And I tell you, we are going to see the shifting of nations where God is the God who tears down kings and sets up others. And that includes the toppling of governments. There are two other walls that need to come, well, actually three walls that need to come down. There's a wall of racism, that's going to start falling in this nation. Listen, God did it at Jericho. He can do it here. There's the wall of what we're seeing with what I call the bamboo wall or curtain. Asia, keep your eye on that area. And then also over the Middle East, there's the wall that has been around the Jews and even Islam and different things like that in the Middle East, that there's coming a major move of God in Asia and throughout the Middle East and really throughout the earth. Because again, what we're talking about, what does a nation look like filled with glory? That's God's agenda. Things change and things get better. And I want to say this last thing. How do you know things are going to get better, Hank? Because of Exodus 33, when Moses wanted to see the glory, guess what God's answer was, Steve? The first thing he said, Exodus 33:18, God, show me your glory. God's answer, verse 19, I will cause all my goodness to pass before you. How did he know the glory showed up? You would see God's goodness. And so I want to invite those of you that are listening, if you want to discover more prophecies or prophetic perspectives, you can go out to hankandbrenda.org underneath the prophetic perspective page there at hankandbrenda.org. That's our website. You can also follow us on Facebook, One Voice Ministries, Hank and Brenda. We also have Stand Up for the Bible, where we talk about a lot of cultural issues and stand on the Word of God regarding it. You can also follow us on Instagram, Hank Kuhneman or Brenda Kuhneman, and we would just love to connect with you that way, and also on our YouTube channel, because one of the most sacred things that we must always remember is, does God's heart matter? That's the most sacred thing, is God's heart, and that's what true prophecy is, God's heart, mind, will, intent, and agenda. So it's been great being with everyone today, and with you, Steve, as well.
Well, thank you, Hank, and thank you for taking time to be on my podcast. Thank you to my listeners for tuning in. Share this on social media and in any other way. Forward it to people via email. And tune in again tomorrow for another edition of The Strang Report on the Charisma Podcast Network. I'm Stephen Strang.
Thank you for listening to The Strang Report with Steve Strang. To read more from Steve, visit his blog, The Strang Report, on charismamag.com. Again, it's The Strang Report on charismamag.com.
This has been a production of the Charisma Podcast Network. Steve and Joyce Strang are the founders and owners of CPN. Dr. Steve Green is the executive producer of the Charisma Podcast Network. We intend to honor God with every podcast and remain thankful to our advertisers and supporters who make these podcasts possible.